You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Yeah, I started jumping into Freaks and Geeks again.
Yeah, we got.
Love that show.
Research now.
Yeah, exactly. You get Frederick on. That's really kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've had some exciting news about the show this week too.
Ooh.
Yeah. A friend of mine that used to listen to 80s Reboot. I don't know how we got in this conversation. This girl Gwen, that's the one I was telling. I mentioned in the messenger. I'm like, she would actually is interested in being on the show in the future.
Sweet.
Hopefully in a few weeks, might be able to do something on another horror episode, like disaster movies. That's what she really
is. Oh, that's right. You were talking about her, yeah.
So she sent me, she said she's loving the show. She's already listened to three of them and she's liking it a lot and she can't wait to hear the next one.
Oh, Retro and Club? Then,
yeah.
Okay.
The new Bond. Yeah. She's loving the new show. And I also mentioned it to somebody that's in our running group and she listened to it and she actually, she's having a conversation with my wife and she listened to the one about the 70s movies.
Right.
Mm.
And she mentioned to my wife, she goes, "Oh, and I think it's hysterical that you wanted to be either a truck driver or a hooker."
Oh, that's good stuff.
So we all had a good laugh about it. It was a good time. So, she actually referenced something that we were talking about on the show. It was pretty funny. Directly to my wife, so it's
now,
funny.
Now Chrissy's got to start listening to the shows. That way, she knows what you're talking about.
Oh, she always knows what I'm talking about. She's not. She doesn't want to be out there, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually asked Richard today if you would consider, because you know you guys had mentioned, you know, him coming on, and he's like, nah.
Come on. Get him to talk about Rush with me. Come on.
And then I'm like, okay, that's fine. Well, maybe. I'll consider it. I'm like, okay, stop right there. You don't get to change your mind anymore. I'll give him I can consider it. So, yeah, definitely.
Did you tell him I want to do an episode on Rush?
Nope.
Like a music icon? Okay, we'll mention that. Because I know he's a huge Rush fan, right?
Major.
Okay.
Major.
Yeah. I would love to talk about 2112.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for.
Hey, come on, bring it.
Oh, goodness.
All right. And you know what? I don't think I really, given the way that this has got to post on a certain date, I don't know if we really have if we're going to go with a number, like a numbered episode. That or maybe I post-edit that in or something. I don't know. So what I've been thinking today is just the ones that we have either like a guest or something that we're doing the collaboration with, maybe those aren't numbered. Those are just extra episodes.
Right.
So that's all I can come up with. That keeps it easy for me.
We could have a special name for it or something.
For like, you mean like guest episodes or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like an interlude episode or something. Something creative, some kind of name we come up where we throw it in and it's not a numbered one. It kind of, sneaks in.
Right. Right. And, as we get into some sort of regular posting schedule anyway. It's like, they may not, the ones that we do with, you know, either this collaboration thing or we have like those guys on Kickstarter or whoever. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the regular episode, you know, that we have posting for that week, but we could also have in addition this one. So, I mean, based on the plan that we're on Podbean, we don't have any kind of limit, so we can post as much as we want. So, yeah, just something to think about.
I got it.
What?
It's a flip side episode.
Flip side episode. Okay.
Yes. Like when you had your 45s, you know, you always said that, like the main title.
Okay.
The main title that you would buy, and you say,
yeah,
you know, what's on the flip side, right?
Yeah.
Or like if you bought a single, which was referenced in the show that I was watching tonight, a single.
Yeah.
You know,
you got the
main title on one of whatever song you wanted to buy, and then you got the B or the B side, the flip side or the B side.
Or sometimes you got a remix.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
Flip side or remix?
I'm leaning
flip
side.
No, I'm just saying, like a single.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
Like a remix.
Sometimes it was,
yeah,
like on the flip side, it was actually like the remix, right? Like you get the, like one was the radio release, and
right,
then the other one was like the
7-inch like, or 12-inch.
Yeah, like the disco release or whatever.
Yeah. Dance mix. There you go.
Yeah. Dance mix, yeah. So what do you think? Flip side episode.
I love it.
Okay, cool.
Rose, any reservations about that one?
Absolutely none.
Outstanding.
Cool.
So then our collaboration episodes become flip side episodes.
That could be good.
So anything that's like a guest, the collaboration stuff, then we'll call them flip side. All right, cool. And that way we don't have to have a number.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Can we get a sound bite for that?
We can work on something.
Catch you on the flip side.
I like
that
it.
That is a thing.
I wonder if there's a bunch of, like, I wonder if we could snag a bunch of movie clips from like YouTube or something.
Yeah.
Let's say flip side. Something about the flip side.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that's what they called the cartoon version in Kid Video.
Hmm.
I'm almost sure we'd be able to find audio clips there.
Cool.
I'm just curious. Kid Video. Flip side. See what I come up with. Yeah. That is actually what it was called. Flip side. The flip side.
Nice.
Can't believe I remember that one. All right. All right. So let's get started then. Bonsai Retro Club, and this is a special flip side episode. What we are doing is we started this thing with these group of collaborators, and before we called ourselves the 80s League, but what we're trying to do is expand our reach a little bit so that we have more topic matter that's just not 80s. So we actually redubbed the group Bonsai Retro Club after this network name, and so it's still the same usual suspects that are participating in that. Before we get to that, my name is Dave. Online I have got my good friend Scott.
Hey everybody.
And the lovely, beautiful, always effervescent Rose.
Hey everybody.
Participants in the Bonsai Retro Club, and this is stuff that we've done some crossover things with 80s Reboot Overdrive. So we're now going full force into this, and we're going to get some more stuff going as we build out our blog and start, you know, going regular with these podcasts. And so the people that we interact with, you know, as a group, would be Killer Kitch, Old School Evil, Real Ouija Midget Reviews, Rediscover the 80s, Retro Ramblings, Return to the 80s, and Stuck in the 80s. If you want to get to any of their really awesome content websites, go to BonsaiRetroClub.com, click the Bonsai Retro Club link at the top of the page, and then you'll have you'll get to a page that has a bunch of icons, and each one will lead them to their blogs. I highly recommend you go out there and check those guys out. They have a lot of cool stuff all the time. What we're doing as our October collaboration, and by saying October, that means we're trying to do this monthly. But the ideal for the October collaboration is, you know, name a movie that just scared the shit out of you. And that's this. That's this episode. We're going to be talking about Scott Rose and my picks as far as movies that fell into that category. Now, I got to speak briefly with Rose, but Scott, did you like pick like a top three, or was this just one or two?
I grabbed a few. I wasn't sure what the platform was going to be, so I came up with a few. I also asked. We were out to dinner earlier with some friends, and I asked everybody at the table their favorites. So I got one from everybody, just to see where their heads were and see what other people think of that. You know, back before, I don't know if this falls into a certain decade. Like, no. Are we doing one specific day? Just pre 2000, basically,
yeah,
just right?
Pre 2000. In fact,
okay, good. Okay, cool.
And when Rose and I were talking, we both had the same concept. We thought, well, maybe it'd be cool to have a movie from each decade, but I couldn't really pick one from the 90s. So that was kind of where we were at. So I know I've got a 70s pick and an 80s pick, but I just really couldn't come up with anything for the 90s other than what the great movie that you talked about on our 90s movie episode, which is Misery. And that scared the crap out of me.
That was a good one.
But, I, you know, that wasn't as scary as what I was getting at for this horror topic.
No.
Yeah. So I was thinking more just something that kept you up at night, something that kept you out of the water, something that, you know, when you saw this thing, you were like, okay, I'm not going to go near a, you know, some guy with a striped sweater ever again. Who knows?
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thought process I was thinking. Rose, what was your approach to the topic?
I basically, before I start, I was telling my husband about what our topic was this evening, and he gave me one movie of his, so I'll throw that in there later when it's my turn. Made me laugh. Anyway, my approach to it was movies that scared me so bad that I never wanted to see them again.
Huh.
And there's like a ton of horror movies out there that I will watch and laugh at and go, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, horror film was so well put together. These two in particular, no. Just can't do it.
They're on the, I've seen it once, I'm good now. I'm not going to, I don't need to revisit.
Pretty much.
All right.
Come on, you're never going to watch Forbidden Zone again? Really?
I promise you, I will never watch Forbidden Zone again.
So is that, it's because it was so scary.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to call
it? You know, the term horrifying can just
horrifying
describe so many different things about that movie, but it's actually being scary in a horror way. No, horrifyingly awful. Yes,
scary,
cheesy.
Yeah, scary that somebody actually said, "Let's make this thing."
By the way, I did find a new podcast to listen to, also called "How Was This Made?" and it's about bad movies that were made. So we'll have to talk about it. It's interesting. I listened to they did one on The Running Man. Which was, I had to listen to it.
A topic near and dear to your heart.
Yes. So anyway, so go on. Sorry, I interrupted.
No. That's cool. We're allowed to do that.
I'm feeling a little punchy tonight, so.
Right. So a lot of interruptions by Scott, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah, it could be.
I don't know how many spheres he's in, but we know at least, he's on at least two now.
Well, we had a fundraiser event at a brewery earlier today. Okay. Started around 12:30. So, yeah, I've had a few.
That's all good.
I've not been driving, so that's yeah.
We might have some slurring words going on a little later. We'll see. All right. So, Rose, why don't you kick us off? What's your first movie that you wanted to talk about?
You know, I know people know some of my history as a child, and my mother was very, let's call her bohemian in her parenting skills. The first movie I ever saw was a horror film in the theater, but being 6 years old and trying to equate that into something that I would never watch again was kind of like, yeah, okay, this sucks. That I actually had to go see it, but I did end up watching it. I think I own it too, but, that's not the movie we're talking about. So after I got to be older and, the movie, genetics that's somehow surging through my body and generations after me, took its roots. My aunt started taking me to movies, and I was older then, but I don't know how I managed to get into the theater to see this one, because back then the ratings were a lot different, and I'm honestly still trying to figure that out. So the movie is called The Exorcist. And it came out in, let's see, okay, 1973. I have to do IMDb. Sorry, folks. Because I've only seen the movie once. And unfortunately, I can tell you every damn thing that happened in it. That's how much of an impact it had on me. First of all, I'm like one of these people. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe in the devil. I believe that God is good. Devil's bad. And this movie had so much of that in it that it was just, you know, being raised Catholic, you're just like, oh my God, the priest can't even stop it. You know, it's just like, oh man. And this poor little girl, Linda Blair, I mean, they picked an innocent looking young thing like that on purpose. You realize that, right? So it had like a major impact on young preteen girls everywhere, maybe boys too, not really sure, but yeah, it was horrifying. It just, to think that I'm not sure, I think it was based on a true story, loosely based on actual events, so that's scary. For one, the fact that the priest couldn't do anything to help her was even more frightening. Her mother was going through like horrible turmoil just watching her daughter transform into this monster before her. And it was just the fact, I guess, that it could really happen is the kicker. And it just wasn't something that sat right with me emotionally. How I managed to see it out through the whole, probably just the modern curiosity of like, geez, how does this end? Does she die? You know, does the demon come out? Does it stay out? Does she never become normal? You never know. Honestly, I can't remember the end, but I do remember certain parts. And enough of the movie is referenced throughout pop culture to where you could pretty much put it together. They've had, I don't know how many of these made since, and they've rebooted it over and over. Yeah, I just shake my head and go, yeah, you people are crazy. I'm sorry. This ain't Dancing with the Devil. Sorry. I have no interest. No interest anymore. So it was pretty life altering. So.
Alrighty. Scotty, where are you at with The Exorcist?
Okay. Great pick. Definitely iconic as far as horror movies go. And I'm with you on this with this Rose, as far as like having a Christian faith. These supernatural demon possession type movies freak me out a little bit more than, you know, like a slasher movie does. Slasher movies are just, you know, you're kind of expecting what's going to happen next. With the supernatural ones, it's, you really don't know where they're going until they really are revealing it. So anything with evil spirits and stuff, it's freaky stuff. So,
yeah.
But I did not see this movie initially when it was out of theater. I didn't even watch it on VHS or video. I didn't see the whole thing all the way through until I was probably in my 30s.
Wow.
It was somewhere, I think it was early 2000s. They re-released it. 2003, I think they did a 40th anniversary or 30th anniversary re-release to the theater.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, I got to go see this. I've never seen the whole thing all the way through. You know, you see bits and pieces over the years. You see clips of the green pea soup and you know, head spinning around.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine and I, we went and saw it at the theater, and I was blown away, like, how much of a timepiece it was. Like it was like a time capsule, because the doctors were smoking in the hospital. Like, like it really shows how much things have changed over the years. Like, they're like smoking, not just like going into a smoking break room or anything. They're smoking in the hospital rooms next to the patients. It was awesome. But the scariness part of it, the creepiness part of it, was they really did an amazing job for 1973 to really freak you out. I know special effects down the road have been vastly improved, but overall they did a pretty good job on that one. And it was definitely creepy.
Yeah, I think for a movie... I think for a movie that was like made such in the early 70s, you know, it put Linda Blair on the map. You know, I mean, you say Linda Blair, that's the, like, I would say the credit that she gets, you know, thought of. You know, I mean, I don't know what she's, you know, how much she's been on, you know, after this, but that's, you know, the iconic role. And exactly what you said, Rose, about the you know, pop culture references, you know, I mean, even, you know, there was a movie such as like Parenthood. I remember there was a scene where the one of the kids pukes on him, and she goes, "Why are you just standing there?" He says, "Well, I'm waiting for her head to spin."
Yeah, Steve Martin. Yeah, great line.
You know, it's just like, you know, right where that movie got, you know, where that line got ripped from. You know, it was like. That was, you know, and so there's so many things that imitate, you know, those scenes from that movie. And I don't, and like Scott, you know, it was 73 when it came out. That would have put me at like 2. And there's no way I saw it when it was released.
Yeah, I was like 5.
Yeah, so, but somewhere along the lines, I remember seeing it, and, I guess it didn't freak me out as much, but it definitely had an impact where, you know, I was like, you know, that's really freaky stuff. And, you know, for somebody to be, you know, writing and putting this movie together in the way that they did, you know, it's like, what are they, you know, how are those people wired to be thinking, you know, let's take this little innocent girl and, you know, do this with her. And I just don't know, you know, it, you know, based on you said, if it's based on a true story, you know, how much was dramatized for Hollywood and, you know, what was actually legit. And that's almost scary to think about.
Well, and you think about, and I'm thinking and listening to you guys talk, and it's like, it's one of the most amazingly put together movies, you know, very well directed, very amazingly acted. The special effects were just phenomenal for that time. And all I can think about is the cross scene. What twisted mind could say, you know what would go really good right here? If a 13-year-old girl took a really big silver cross, shoved it up her vajayjay repeatedly, and chanted over and over.
Yeah.
Fuck Jesus. Fuck Jesus. I'm just like, what? Yeah. What is that even a thing? Who would come up with something like that? And it's, you know, it's
radical.
It is. I don't even know if it's been done since, to be honest with you. Because, like I said, don't watch stuff like that. But it was bizarre, just in that connotation alone.
Uh-huh. I was looking at the credits, and Max von Sydow, I don't even know if that's how you say it. Sydow.
Sydow.
Yeah, Father Marin. He later on became Ming the Merciless in Flash Gordon.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So I was like, wow. Because I recognized his name immediately. I was like, oh, that's Ming.
So. Yeah, he has quite a few war movies under his belt as well, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, so great first pick. Scott, you want to go next?
Sure. So this movie itself, not the whole movie, but it was one specific scene that just it stuck with me. And this is a movie from the 70s. It was actually a TV movie in 72. So I probably didn't see it the first time around. I think they replayed it out, you know, did kind of a rerun thing. But it was a movie called Gargoyles. Okay. And it's just a TV movie. But it's really kind of a cheesy 70s movie. But there's one scene, and these gargoyles are not pretty. They're ugly. They're very ugly and kind of scary looking. And there's one scene where this one of the main characters is laying in bed in this hotel, and she looks down at the foot of the bed, in this gargoyle creature just slowly puts his head, like slowly comes up from the foot of the bed and just lifts his head up and just stares at her. And she screams, and then it just like takes off and bolts out of the room. But that 7 or 8 seconds is something that I could replay over and over in my head. And it freaked me out when I was a kid, especially. And I don't know why my parents let me watch this when I was, you know, before I was 10. I don't know. I know it was that young. Maybe I snuck it. I probably snuck it in and didn't, you know, they didn't know I was watching it or something. But it really, that one moment freaked me out. The movie overall, it's really, I own it. I had to go out and buy it because it's one of those really bad 70s movies that has such a strong memory in my head from that one scene that I had to go out and watch it again. And yeah. I bought it back before Amazon Prime was really playing, like where you could rent a bunch of movies online. So I've had it for maybe 10 years in my library. And I have watched it a couple times just to see how, you know, see if it was really that scary, but it's really not. That moment is still really creepy. It was very well done. So anyway, this is just a movie called Gargoyles. I know you guys have probably never seen it. It has nothing to do with the cartoon from, I think that was from the 80s or 90s.
90s.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, it's, it was just really a creepy little moment. So that's something that scared the shit out of me at the time.
Wow.
So it was a gargoyle that was like at the foot of somebody's bed.
Yes.
So what freaked you out was thinking that you're going to wake up and find a gargoyle? Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I could see that kind of messing me up if I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. As a child, I mean, of course, yeah. You know, as an adult, it doesn't do anything for you. But yeah, it was definitely creepy for a kid.
Yeah, and much to your point, I've got nothing on this one.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. Unless we want to talk about the cartoon.
Another episode. I may have to bring my son in for that one. That was like one of his favorite animated shows back in the 90s. Gargoyles.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cast list here, and there's like nobody. There's no names. Nope. Here that I, yeah. Got anything, Rose? Sure. Got anything on Gargoyles 1972?
Okay.
Oh, so, Scott Glenn was in it.
Yeah. And even better, Bernie Casey played the gargoyle.
Oh, Bernie Casey. All right. All right. Okay. Sorry, I missed him.
There you go. Okay.
It's okay. Yeah, I have nothing on this one. I probably would not have, even though I got sent to go see The Exorcist. Yeah, it honestly, I wouldn't mind watching it. It won an Emmy for Outstanding Achievement in Makeup. So that's cool.
Which and is shocking to me because there's some bad.
Yeah, I can look at the cover.
Makeup. Tell, maybe, no, the makeup might be
makeup.
Good, but yeah. Makeup. Yeah. So I have the DVD. If you guys cool. ever really, yep. if you can't find it like to rent or something, or if you don't want to pay yeah. the extra money, I could probably send you if you really want to take the time to watch it. it's pretty cheesy.
Going back to a question that we had back in the day,
how much would you pay?
Yeah. A buck?
Yeah, maybe a buck. All right. I would do a buck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
$4, not so much.
No.
Yeah.
A buck then, you think?
I don't even see it. It doesn't even look like it's available on Amazon Prime or Amazon to rent.
Mm. Oh, dear.
All right, so I'm going to jump in with a movie that I'm sure both of you have heard of.
Okay.
Sticking with our current theme of the 70s, this movie, I probably saw way too early on, and it just freaked the living hell out of me. And I don't know, it's tough to explain as to why this had the effect it did on me, but, it's 1976, Carrie.
Ooh.
Yeah, and, you know, something about the girl getting locked into, you know, the closet or the attic or whatever it was, having the highly religious mother that was oppressive, and then her, like, coming of age, and then all the kids picking on her at school.
Yeah.
You know, and we even had a situation where she had got her period the first time in this movie, and then you know, all the blood that was going on at the prom. Just, I mean, there's so many elements of this movie that just freaked the hell out of me. And then to end it with the thing with the hand popping out of the ground, that scared the shit out of me. Now I've watched the remake of this because I was curious to see if it was going to have the same kind of effect, and it really didn't. But I'm a fan of Chloe Grace Moretz, I'm not even sure how you say her name, but she's an actress that was playing in the movie Kick-Ass, Hit Girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's a good young actress that's, you know, coming up in the ranks of Hollywood and doing a great job. Yeah. So I was like, well, she redid Carrie. I've got to see what they did with it. And it didn't freak me out. I was like, you know, it was cool. But the 76 version, yeah, I don't think I've revisited that at all. And like, much to like what Rose was saying, where I'm like, I've seen that. I don't need to revisit it. And even if I knew that if it was on, I'm getting past that channel quickly.
Yeah.
Not stopping.
Yeah.
So yeah, I gotta assume you both have heard of this one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
So what's your memory of Carrie, Scott?
I don't remember when it first came out. I do remember watching it because becoming a Stephen King fan, I had to watch all of his movies too. You know, as I went into early high school, I started reading some of the Stephen King novels, and I read Carrie, and I wanted to see the adaptation of it, and you know, and read Christine and all the other ones that were being made at the time, and The Shining and all that. The movie really did a good job of freaking you out. Again, supernatural kind of, maybe not demon possession, but
no, it's more like
mental telepathy type thing, mm-hmm. Supernatural. That one, that's a good one. It was intense, and John Travolta in it, you know, that was didn't expect that. It was one of his early appearances in a movie. Was it his first movie? I think it might have been his first movie. Before he went into Welcome Back, Kotter. I could be wrong. I'd have to look at his IMDb page. But anyway, the whole thing overall, the scene with the pig's blood that they spill all over her at the prom, it's an unforgettable moment. That's been that you almost can't avoid seeing throughout the years, in one way or another. You know. It's a mm-hmm. reference in so many ways. Mm-hmm. So, great pick. Awesome movie. Scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and her mother. Her mother was out of ever loving mind.
Yeah, she played the, you know, the religious, I don't even know how to put it, just devotee, like to the T. You believe you believe her in so many ways. But Sissy mm-hmm. Spacek was just awesome as Carrie.
Yes, definitely.
I was looking at his Travolta's early credits, and he was in TV series and TV movie. The only thing he had before Carrie for another movie is called The Devil's Ring. But he was doing a little bit of stuff. Yeah, he didn't. Yeah. He did Carrie in 76, and then Grease in 78. So, Rose, what are your thoughts on Carrie?
I too, like Scott, read Carrie first. Before I saw the movie, I was impressed with the book. Slightly disappointed with the movie. The book made her mother way more demented than, you know, than she was portrayed in the movie. And I guess there's reasons for that. I don't know. I pretty much immediately just sided, you know, with Carrie because she was, you know, had a very restrictive life and she was very innocent and didn't know a whole lot. And her mother didn't tell her about life. And after she had that incident in the shower with, you know, her getting her aunt Flo or whatever you want to call it, tell her mother and she's like, go pray. And it's like, oh, for God's sake, you crazy old bitch. Tell a woman that she's kidding. What the hell is wrong with you? You know, and it was just, you know, to be able to see it instead of just in your mind's eye, see it, you know, just the whole thing. It was just like, yeah, I hope she just wipes the floor up with you people. That was kind of like the last straw with the pig's blood and making her prom queen and all that stuff. It was so horrible what they did to her. And yeah, I was glad that everybody got thrown out of the window. But I'm reading some of the trivia on IMDb, and Nancy Allen, who I normally like as an actress, she was really good in RoboCop, claims she never realized her character was going to be so evil until she saw the finished film. Can you imagine? It's like, what's my motivation here? Oh, you're a bitch. Oh, okay. She thought she and John Travolta were playing such self-centered bickering morons that they were there for the comic relief.
Huh.
Yeah, okay. Piper Laurie also thought the character of Margaret White was so over the top that the film had to be a comedy. Wow, really? You're the more seasoned actress of these three people. And he thought this was a comedy. Wow, that's pretty crazy. I know people have done it. I, you know, they've done spoofs of it, you know, over the years. But yeah, that's a great pick, Scott. Excellent.
Cool.
Yeah, actually, I just noticed that William Catt was also in it.
Yeah.
He later became the greatest American hero.
Yeah, he did, and he did a movie called House.
Yeah.
Hello.
So yeah, a lot of good names in that one. All right. You guys said you had other picks, though. Who went first? Rose went first. Rose. Yeah. You have another pick for us?
I do. And it's in the 80s now. Because in the 80s, I decided that, okay, I'm not going to be a wimp anymore and not watch horror movies. Because every time I were watching horror movies, my hands immediately went over my eyes and I'd peek through my fingers. And I would miss a lot of the movie that way. But the music was always a dead giveaway. But I thought, okay, so I'm going to watch all the horror movies that I could possibly see. And I'm not going to be afraid. And I'm not going to have nightmares. And I'm really having this talk with myself, by the way. I'm not just making this up. So I started out, of course, Stephen King was perfect. The perfect catalyst for all of those amazing things to come that I thought was going to make me a less fearful person. And unfortunately, when I got to the movie Hellraiser, yeah, that all went out the window.
Oh.
That had to be one of the most twisted movies on so many levels that I had ever seen. And I'm thinking to myself, what? What is your problem? And then it was like, wow, yeah, you definitely got, wow, you've got some serious issues, dude. And then this guy named Pinhead shows up, and that's pretty much all she wrote. And I'm thinking, man, this is, yeah, I don't even remember the end of the movie. I remember pausing it or stopping it or something and rewinding it and putting it back in a sleeve. And taking it back to the video store going, yeah, don't watch this movie. This movie's horrible. And I don't mean like poorly made or poorly acted. I mean, it's just, yeah. Of course, there are a lot of devotees out there that would totally disagree with me. And that's fine. Y'all be just as twisted as you want to. I'll be the weenie that I was meant to be.
So you were revisiting, or not revisiting, but you were kind of jumping into horror movies, and this is the one that was like, hell no.
Yeah. Okay. Literally. Hellraiser? Hell no. Yeah. I'm done. I'm a weenie. Forget it.
I wish I remember more details about it. I know I have seen it, and I do remember Pinhead, and I remember there was a lot of sadomasochism. Yeah, so I know there's a lot of that going on. But it's like, yeah, it's one of those movies that I just remembered bad stuff happening, but I don't remember much of the plot of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think maybe that's the point in a lot of those horror movies. Maybe you don't really need to have a, like a substantial storyline to follow. You just like, go from one crazy event to another, or horrific event. But Clive Barker, anything that guy touched was just evil.
I even tried reading some of his stories. I tried reading one of his books, and I couldn't. I got like 3 pages into it, and I was like, whoa, okay.
You kind of wonder what's in the – to live in the minds of like a Stephen King or a Clive Barker, you've got to think that that's a dark place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you wired that way to write that stuff. Scott, where are you at with Hellraiser?
I remember a line from that movie, and this is a great pick, Rose, but the line I remember,
we'll tear your soul apart.
I mean, it's just so creepy. We'll tear your soul apart. It is so freaky. Like, I totally forgot about this movie until you mentioned it. It wasn't even on my radar, but this was a scary freaking movie because it's so like Clive Barker. Okay, Dave, you were saying that going into the minds of these people. Okay, Stephen King. I really really like a lot of his stuff, and yes, sometimes it's dark and demented and bizarre, but Hellraiser was one seriously fucked up movie. Okay. I don't know where this guy, his head was when he came up with this kind of stuff, but it was way darker and deeper than anything that I've seen Stephen King do or read any of his stuff. Stephen King is at least somewhat relatable. Like this was into a realm of so deep, dark evil that with the faith beliefs that we have, when you, like we said before, going into this demonization and that kind of thing, it's like you watch this movie and you're thinking, I really shouldn't be putting this in my head. I can't erase this. You know, once it's in there, it's in. You can't just like, make it go away. But that's how I feel about this movie. It's pretty messed up. But it was very intense, and I had to watch the whole thing. Of course, you sucked in, and you're like, you got to watch it. So anyway. That's my take on it.
Yeah, just Mr. Clive Barker. Yeah, you're demented, sir.
Yeah.
And he would probably say thank you.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so my pick, actually, I had one from the 80s also, and I'm going to go on the same theme that I did before in picking on Mr. Stephen King. Children of the Corn, 1984.
Nice. This is turning into a Stephen King show. This is good.
It just about is. And Scott, like, you tend to bring up scenes that are just so memorable.
Uh-huh.
First off, you had John Franklin, who played Isaac, just looked evil. Just as a little boy, just looks evil. You look at the kid, and you just think evil. He doesn't even have to say a thing. But you throw him into the situation where now he gets possessed, and he's looking over at Malachi, and he does that thing with his voice where he says, "Malachi,
Malachi.
He wants you to." It's like, fuck, dude. It's like, shit. And here's the funny part is, just maybe, I want to say 2 weeks ago, we had a friend of ours that had her birthday party at the world's biggest corn maze.
Malachi.
And we're actually walking through the corn maze at night. It was actually, you know, the only lights we had were the lights from our iPhones. So we're like, you know, that was prime time. And I'm all of a sudden I'm thinking, man, if I see Isaac, I'm just going to die. But if they would have had like just a silhouette statue, not statue, but like a silhouette, like cardboard cutout of him. Yeah, I would have started crying at that point. I would have been like, oh, get me back to the beginning. Save me.
That'd actually be a good thing to do on a corn maze, put a cardboard cut out of one of those guys, or all the kids, all the children of the corn.
Yeah, just randomly place them.
Yeah, and what they do at this corn maze thing is they give you like a map of the corn maze. But of course you don't have any reference points once you're in it to know exactly where you're at. But they have like stations that you can go get your card punched, and they have like 1 to 32 different punch stations. And then at the end, you can get like a sticker and a certificate. My son was like the only one of the group that did like 20. I did 3. And it's just so you get in there and I was getting picked on because I was almost like one of the leaders of the group to get us through. And, they're like, oh, great. Dave is helping us, you know, lead the way. And if you guys knew me, how directionally challenged I am, because I've got a pretty much iPhone direction my way everywhere, you would understand that, you know, you're in a dark, you're in a dark cornfield and you're relying on me. That's not a good move. Not a good move. But we're alive, so something good happened out of it. But this was just something about the kids taking over the town, you had Linda Hamilton, Peter Horton, the normal adult characters, and everything seemed to be up and up and legit, and then all of a sudden took a turn. And yeah, those kids were just pure evilness, and Mr. Stephen King did it to me again. So this one was definitely one for the books of scaring the shit out of me. So Rose, where are you at with Children of the Corn?
I saw that movie recently, within the last 5 years. I intentionally purchased it on VHS from a thrift store, and I watched the movie in its entirety and just giggled myself into hysteria. I thought that movie was hysterical. I really did. But I didn't see it when it first came out, so I can't really do the whole I'm in the time when it was made, and it was pretty scary. Some parts of it were a little surreal, but, you know, 50-something, and I'm watching this going, are you kidding me? Can't somebody just knock that little bastard over or something? But apparently not. he had some power over him that they just couldn't succumb, would not, help to succumb to. So.
And I think you're right. If I would have seen it now, it may be, kind of humorous. Yeah. But being all of 13 years old when it first came out.
There you go. That's a 13-year-old going, oh, my God, there's crazy kids running around. And then they're seriously twisted. So, high school. Children of the Corn. Sorry, that was my take on it.
No worries. Scott? Okay.
So anytime a movie or a story or a book or whatever puts you in a place that is like has a moment of reality, like I've driven across country a couple times from Chicago to California, either moving back and forth, and you basically have to drive through Nebraska or even Western Illinois is just all cornfields. And seeing that movie as a teenager, you can't help but think you start picturing the moments in the movie and like, well, we're out in the middle of these cornfields. There could be some creepy stuff going on out here. And it gets in your head a little bit. It's really funny, even though you know that it's really far-fetched and probably not anywhere near reality. It plays tricks on your head a little bit when you're out there in the moment of a place, of a location that is, it's real. And you're like, oh, this was in Children of the Corn. I swear this is really bizarre. Why haven't I haven't seen a car in like an hour, you know? Start questioning yourself, you know? So yeah, it was definitely a creepy movie, scary movie. For me too. Stephen King, man, he's really a good, he really knows how to build a scene and make things make you really think about it. Mm-hmm. So
excellent pick.
Thanks. Yeah, I was just, you know, going back to the thought process of, yeah, when I'm driving through cornfields and you're like, okay, I haven't seen a gas station in a while, and mm-hmm. you know, it's like, luckily there's iPhones now. And I think that a lot of the, you know, these dramatic movies from the 70s and 80s that had situations, you know, mm-hmm. in modern day times, I don't think that they would be as eventful. Because right. you know, I think somebody was talking about Cujo before, where it's like, well, you know, if this person was stuck in a car now and that big dog was outside the car, they would just call for help.
Right.
You know, and it was just kind of like, well, yep, movie's over. So, you know, it's like
this one falls into that category.
Yeah, this is exactly it. And the only thing that would stop that is if you're, you know, let's say you've got you know, no cell phone coverage. You know, let's say you got AT&T and you're in a dead zone.
But there you go.
They would have to write that in.
They would definitely have to write that in.
Yeah.
What's the movie that were Jason? What's the Jason movies?
Friday
13th.
Yeah.
So I'm watching my grandkids this weekend, right? And my 8-year-old, 12-year-old grandson is watching something on YouTube, and it's had something to do with Friday the 13th. So here are these people, they're kind of like stuck in their car or something, and I'm not sure what the premise. It's a spoof of some kind. And Jason walks up and knocks on the window of the car, and the guy rolls it down and the horror on the look on his face. And Jason says, "Can I tell you about our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior?"
Oh my God.
And my grandson is like pissing himself laughing. And I'm going, "What was that?" And he's like, "Oh, Grandma," he said. And he explained it to me. And I'm like, "Oh my God, that is hysterical. Can you imagine? Like, here's this horror scene and Jason wants to lead you to Jesus. That's awesome." Way to take the edge off. You know? Oh. Like, oh, you're not scary at all.
Yeah, last thing you'd expect Jason to say. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He will send you to Jesus, but yeah, he's not
actually lead you. He'll arrange the meeting, but he's not going to necessarily. Yeah.
Well, only after the first one, that is. You know, the first one was his mother, so.
Yeah.
That did all the killing. Mrs. Voorhees.
Voorhees, yes.
All right, so Scott, did you have a pick from the 80s?
Actually, I think I do have a pick from the 80s.
Okay.
I still had some other ones from the 70s, but...
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then, I don't know.
There's so many little quirky ones out there that I find myself going to the obscure versus the more well-known.
No.
Surprise, I know.
Not I'm you. Like,
I can't help it. I don't know why I like these obscure movies. What is it about me? But I like the big one, the bigger blockbuster type movies too. So, all right, I'm going to go with something that was not originally on my list. I just happened to see a picture of it, and it reminded me of how freaky it was too. And it was a movie called Scanners.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if it scared the hell out of me, like the premise. I mean, that's always kind of weird, you know, mental telepathy and telekinesis and stuff like that. Or, you know, like Stephen King's Firestarter, where Drew Barrymore just bursts everything into flames by thinking about it. But Scanners, like a dude's head explodes from thinking too hard and trying to read another guy. And I mean, and then with what was the guy's name? Dang it, I forgot his name again. It's Michael Ironside.
Yes.
He does a good job of playing kind of a creepy guy, you know. But there are points when his veins are popping out of his face and his eyes roll back to where they're all white and just really creepy special effects. And I think that movie kind of freaked me out. And it's just maybe not as much the premise, like the way reality sometimes scares you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like reality is sometimes scarier than the hardcore extreme sci-fi or whatever.
Because
reality is too close to reality sometimes. And but anyway, just some of the scenes in this movie where they could just make people burst into flames or make their heads explode was it's just a classic scary movie from the 80s, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know that I almost want to say I remember Wayne's World referencing Scanners, but I never saw it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I seem to remember something where Garth was like, you remember that scene from Scanners? And I could be remembering it wrong. But, yeah, I know there was a reference to the scene where the guy's head explodes. But, yeah, never saw it. Rose? Scanners?
Is that the one where the old dude is in the mausoleum? Or am I thinking of something else?
I think you're thinking of Phantasm.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that's a freaky one too. Yeah,
with the silver ball that with the blades that are sticking out of it that flies around and just slams people in the face. Yeah. That was a good one too.
just the guy alone. You didn't need no silver ball with blades and shit. Yeah. Just him in a mausoleum. That's it. He could have been walking up and down all those tombs for the whole damn movie, and I'd be like, no, you can stop anytime because this dude is way too freaky. There's too much freakness going on. But Scanners, no. I tried to watch it, and I got to the part. That's like right at the beginning, too, where the guy in the telekinetic.
Yeah,
it's right at the beginning, and that's as far as that.
The exploding head?
Yeah.
Is it really? I don't remember. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, and
I don't really plan to either.
Minutes into it, and it was like, okay, I'm done. And turned it off, slid it back into the VHS sleeve, and popped in something else. Honestly, I just didn't really think, how is a movie going to get any better than that? Seriously. You know, you were prematurely, you know, scaring the shit out of people, like, right at the beginning. Save that for, like, at least the middle part so they can find out if somebody else is going to get their head blown off or what the hell. Yeah.
Well,
it was okay, but I wasn't impressed with it.
I was just thinking another
15 minutes of it anyway. So in the first 15 minutes that I saw, I wasn't that impressed, other than the fact that his head exploded.
I was just thinking another 80s movie that had, like, an iconic scene where, you know, somebody was basically getting destroyed in front of camera. And I keep thinking of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The melting faces.
Melting faces. I'm like, that's freaky. So, I don't know if Scanners delivered to that, you know, to that caliber or not.
It
was pretty intense.
Yeah. I think it was like the first on-screen head implosion that ever happened.
It might have been.
All right, so Rose, did you have any other picks? I know I don't.
I don't, but if I may take this opportunity to throw my husband's pick out there.
Yeah, please.
You will have to understand, and whenever you get a chance to talk to him, he is not very fond of Nicolas Cage. So his pick for scariest movie that he never wanted to see ever again was Con Air.
Con Air. So he's not a Nick Cage fan.
Oh, no.
And so
the entire movie, no one could save it. It was not salvageable.
And then that's the movie that Nick is just doing probably the worst accent that he's ever done. You know, as kind of like a kind of a redneck kind of a thing. But honestly, I thought the movie was kind of cool. But you know, I mean, you gotta take it at the cheese factor. You know, it. But yeah, if you're not a fan of him, then yeah, that's all that movie's about. But I like John Cusack in it, so.
I love John Cusack, and I like him in that, and I can honestly just get past Mr. Cage on several different levels, but I guess the fact that he actually spent money to go see it, that's his take on it. So.
Nick Cage had a wicked mullet in that thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that added to the horror factor.
Ah!
The 90s, why did you still have a mullet?
So, you don't have any more to add, Dave? Because I got a few that we could just throw out real quick.
Yeah, please.
We don't have to go into depth. I'll mention a couple, and you'll probably might ring some bells. Trilogy of Terror with Karen Black.
I got nothing on that one.
Nothing. Okay, so there's this little. It's like three or four stories in one movie. And there's one story where it's this little like voodoo doll that's like maybe a foot and a half tall. And it's just the creepiest little thing. I've heard so many people, other people say that that's like one of the movies that like really impacted them, growing up in the '70s. And that was from, 75, another TV movie, made for TV. So, yeah, it's kind of a weird one. And then another one that's right along the same lines, and I think this might have been an actual theater release. It was called Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Yes.
And it's where this couple moves into a house and there's these little demons that are trying to I don't know, it says they're trying to make a wife, like the wife, they're trying to make her one of their own, like one of the other demons. But it's just there's a lot of little creepy scenes in it. Bad special effects. The demons are really weird looking, and but it really was a scary movie. Like it makes you think when you're in the dark. You know, it's one of those things. Darkness is where the unknown is, and that's where fear really comes from, is the unknown, right?
Absolutely. It's got
that's the greatest fear we have is the unknown. We don't know what to make of it, so we kind of fear it. So anyway,
I think Hitchcock was awesome at that. Is the anticipation mm-hmm. of something that's going to happen just with amping up music mm-hmm. and not even actually seeing it, but just knowing that something horrible is about to happen.
Right.
And yeah.
Hitchcock was a genius at building the moment. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Although, if you've ever seen The Birds, if you want to get a good laugh, The Birds is a good one. Really. And then another movie from the 80s was Poltergeist. There's that supernatural thing again that comes around. And the scene with the kid, the boy with the clown attacking him in his bed, that's just not right. Mm-hmm. So that was always a scene that kind of really freaked you out. And then when they're in the pool towards the end of the movie, when they had dug out this pool that they were supposed to be, you know, putting in their backyard, and what's her name? Jo Beth Williams.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the pool in the water, and she's trying to dig her way out and it's like pouring rain and the water's filling in, and then all these skeletons are popping out of the mud, you know, and they're not really attacking her, but they are attacking her in a way, you know. They're not living in any means, but just so many weird things in that movie that really freaked me out. So
trivia. Those were real cadavers in that scene.
Whoa.
They were trying to save money.
I remember hearing something about that.
Yeah, they were trying to save money, and it was cheaper for them to use real people's bones, but they didn't tell Joe Beth until after.
Oh, my God. I hope she put somebody in the mix.
I remember hearing that story.
Yeah.
And so, there's a bunch of deaths related to that whole movie series. Like the little girl. Carol Ann.
Yeah, and Chick Blade's sister.
Yeah, and the girl that was the older sister, she was killed by somebody, like murdered.
And then one of the guys had a cameraman or a set, somebody.
Yeah,
on
some
set.
There are some weird things. They're all saying, oh, it's because it's about, you know, Poltergeist itself. It's about the demons and whatnot. It's kind of a haunting. So let me read the my friend's picks real quick here. Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
Nightmare on Elm Street. The Shining.
Mm.
The Thing.
Hmm?
Yeah, The Thing. Remember The Thing?
Yeah, I remember us talking about it.
Yes, that's why I'm kind of going, what?
You haven't seen it, right, Dave?
I still have not seen that.
That's a good one. It's scary. It's scary.
It's scary.
It's alien scary. Alien scary kind of thing.
And I actually saw it on
the demand. I'm thinking of Blob.
It's like there. I just haven't clicked to watch it.
Dude, it's a great movie, man.
You guys have told me. I know. So I just haven't made time, that's all.
And then my wife chose Amityville Horror.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Because, again, it's like, you know, it's that supernatural based on real stories or whatever it is.
Get out.
Okay, baby, we're out of here.
I'm gone.
This is not the house for us. that was the list that came up at the dinner table tonight.
Sweet.
Yeah. So this was a fun episode, guys.
Because going through and saying, you know, what's your top three horror movies is one thing, but just to talk about the ones that just really had an impact.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a different take on the topic. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we could geek out on movies like, let's say Chopping Mall, you know, which none of us brought up. Because, I mean, you know, as much as we enjoyed watching that one and revisiting it, you know, courtesy of a guest that we spoke to, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was funny horror more than, you know, scary horror. And I think that's what I wanted to get out of this episode was, you know, what really just freaked you out.
Yeah. A good mention on the Chopping Mall. Kelly Maroney was awesome.
Yeah.
When we talked to her, but, that other podcast that I mentioned, I started listening to, how is that made?
Mm-hmm.
Chopping Mall is another one that they,
mm-hmm.
So I downloaded that episode. I got to hear what they have to say about it.
as long as they don't pick on Kelly, they're not allowed to pick
on
Kelly.
It's not about, you know, when it says, how was this made? Mm-hmm. It's only about movies. How was this movie ever made? That's the premise. And it's pretty funny. They're kind of funny. So, anyway.
Good.
All right. Do we got anything else?
No, I don't think so. Unless, you know, unless, you know, we have like a little girl's voice that says, they're here. You know, unless we want to do something like that. Or, you know. I guess a good question to end on, though, is there any scary music that you can think of that, you know, is probably the most impacting from these retro movies, you know? And I guess what I'm thinking of is, you know, where Jaws was like, you know, you think Jaws, you or you know you
yeah
I mean, are there any of those that are still kind of impacting for you?
Tubular bells. Mm-hmm.
What's that from?
The Exorcist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would do it.
Well, the theme, definitely the theme from the original Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's... I think everybody can hear that and go, oh, yeah, that's Halloween. I mean, you hear it all the time at all the theme parks and whatnot during, you know, their scary Fright Fest or whatever theme park is doing what.
I know.
You always hear the Halloween theme. And that one actually is my wife's all-time favorite scary movie Halloween type.
I like the first one.
Yeah, that's the one.
I remember renting that and watching it and thinking, oh my God, I don't know who this lady is, Jamie Lee Curtis, but she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then find out later she was had very two famous parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
She really did have two famous parents. So.
All right. So I want to end on this one thought. One, two, Freddy's coming for you. 3, 4, better lock your door. 5, 6, grab a crucifix. 7, 8, gonna stay up late. 9, 10, never sleep again. Yes. All right, so this is our collaboration episode. Once again, October collaboration with Bonsai Retro Club. Those people, again, are Kelly Kitsch, Old School Evil, Real Ouija Midget Reviews, Rediscover the 80s, Retro Ramblings, Return to the 80s, and Stuck in the 80s. So hopefully when this gets posted, right around that time, we'll have some blog entries where we're going to hook everybody together with their article submissions and maybe some other podcasters that jumped in and talked about the topic as well. So we encourage you to go to BonsaiRetroClub.com to check out our blog entry and then also see who else is participating in this one out of that group. So fun topic and very apt for October. A lot of movies that may have raised the hairs on the back of the neck over the years. It's going to be tough to sleep tonight. What do we have left? What's left to talk about? Probably iTunes. So where are we at, Rose?
We are at iTunes reviews. Everybody out there with your new iPhone 8s. Waiting for that Big Ten update here next year, at the end of the year. Don't forget to go to Bonsai Retro Club and check us out. Give us your reviews. Throw in some comments. We look forward to you listening to us and appreciate you all listening to us because we wouldn't be who we are without you. If I also may take this opportunity to remind all the ladies out there, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Show your support. Get your girls examined. Get a mammogram. Guys, it's a thing for dudes too, so sorry. You got to get them checked out. So support the people that you love. If you have people in your family that have had it, they're survivors, they're not survivors, show your support. Wear your pink ribbon. Do your duty. And thank you for all your support for us at BonsaiRetroClub.com.
Great message. What I love is that even the sports teams that, participate with wearing the pink socks and things along those lines. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of great support for a very much needed, area that needs support. Definitely. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
And, you know, I realize that Scott doesn't have, like, a closing job for the podcast. So I may start putting him on the hook to tell our listeners about our Patreon.
Okay.
So I don't know if you're ready to do that yet or not, though.
Are no, because I don't know exactly how to approach it. So
okay,
we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that. But okay. For those of you that do get to our website, bonsairetroclub.com, down at the very bottom of the main page there is a button that, you know, goes to our Patreon page. And what Patreon will give you the ability to do is give kind of a you know, like a donation of sort to help us continue to do this. You know, this is a being a, you know, a website that we have to maintain and a podcast hosting thing. It's not free. You know, it does cost money, and you can show your support by going to our Patreon and just giving a little something. And we would love to have you as our patron, and we would show you much love and admiration for doing that. My end phrase has been, be excellent to each other. I want to continue to give that as advice to everybody. You know, there's a lot of evil meanness in the world, and some ways are portrayed in movies like we talked about tonight, but in other ways there's just people that are just mean to each other, and unfortunately the news shows that a lot. Also, we've had situations recently where there's been a lot of areas of the world that have been devastated by hurricanes or natural disasters. We all can be excellent to each other and help each other out, and that's what I want you to do. So thank you for listening, and have a great whatever.
Take care.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Hour 32. Yowza. Long topic.
Well, first 20 minutes was chit-chat.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah. Hey, Dave, why have I still can't find your post on your the blog for the Poseidon Adventure? Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, I never did it yet. What
did you write one?
I have not written. No, I have not.
Oh, yeah, you're not gonna, you won't get to it because the moment is past. You know what I mean? Whoa. Like you won't be able to relive that moment, the excitement that I heard, that from what it seemed like you were giving off after you watched it. You were like excited that you were that it was actually a good movie and that you liked it, and yeah, I was hoping that you had already written it, because I think sometimes you gotta grab that moment, you know?
Yeah,
and I'm not trying to be negative towards you in any way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you suck for not writing it.
Well, that's what I felt like right there. But
no. No, but you know what I mean? Like it could be tough. Like I tried to do that when I went to Ireland. When I came back, I was so excited about the trip. I wrote down the first 4 days of the trip. Like, I wrote down like everything that I did. Like, I was able to remember it all, and I was going to finish with the fifth and sixth day of the story. But I waited, like I ended up, you know, not writing it for like a month and a half. And I went back to it. I'm like, going, okay, what did we do on the fifth and sixth day? And I could not remember what I was going to write about. So yeah. I was really excited to see what you had to say about the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I really did enjoy it, yeah. And it was just that, you know, in the trying to, at that time, I was still trying to find an exit strategy for Reboot.
Yeah.
And I ended up you know, spending more time working on that than working on this. And that's what I told Rob today, because when I was shooting messages to him to say, hey, you know, the final episode is out there, and then, you know, here's, you know, the Gamacasts that are left. You'll have to edit these, but I have this one edited, blah, blah, blah. And then he asked me how the new network was coming. And so, you know, I gave him a synopsis, you know, of kind of where we were with things. And I said, well, you know, in brutal honesty, I had to give myself an exit strategy for 80s Reboot because I kept getting myself pulled into, you know, for myself. It's not like anybody was pushing it on me, but I kept, right. like, you know, as it was there, I was like, I felt like I had to do something with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, now it's, you know, now I'm at the point where it's like done. All I gotta do is clean up some social media accounts, and I'm like done.
Yeah.
And it's like, good. Once I've done that, then all these ideas that I've had for Banzai, you know, I can start putting energy into those. I mean, like I started doing with, like, you know, asking people from Kickstarter. You know, that's the, you know, part of the game plan, you know, is because I want to help promote their projects, but at the same time, I want them to be like, hey, I was on a podcast and here's the link. You know, and, you know, so it's kind of a twofold, you know, strategy, you know, to get more the word out about us. But yeah, but the blog thing, you know, I watched that movie and I was like, I really dug it, man. It was a really great movie. And I was excited about it, and I even talked about it on that one reboot episode. And and then everything else got in the way.
I understand. It happened.
Yep.
If you ever do get back to it and you don't want to post it on the blog or something, I would love to hear your synopsis of it.
Yeah, personally. I don't have any reason not to post it. You know, I mean, it was a great 70s movie, you know, and it was well done, actually. And surprisingly, Ernest Borgnine is quite the dick, you know, but kind of turns it around.
He was kind of a jerk in that for the first part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. He turns himself around, you know, he really becomes kind of a character that, you know, you kind of hated during it, but then you're like, at the end, you're like, all right, this is the guy that's going to get him through.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's a lot of good twists and turns in that movie. So I enjoyed getting to see that, and I'm glad it held up. You know, some movies you would like, when I'm watching it, why do these guys like this? But, you know, in this case, it wasn't that. It was,
yeah,
this is a good movie. So, so there you go. In a very quick overview, that's my synopsis.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. But yeah, I still want to write it though.
Okay.